Welcome to another episode of Today. We have some very special guests and some very special topics we're going to be talking about. All the issues that are impacting our region currently at the moment, which are very topical. In studio with me, my guest is Halalisani Ndlovu and Sipho Nzungu. We call you Po, but Sipho Nzungu. Both sit in the Kwadikusa Municipality Council, and they are representative of Action SA. Welcome, gentlemen. Thanks for joining us. It's been quite long overdue with Halalisani. Hey, yeah. I want to just start off with you. On the 20th of April, Parliament's Portfolio Committee on Corporate Governance wrote to Lembe Mayor Tobani Shandu. The committee, chaired by former Cabinet Minister Zweli Mkhize, listed allegations covering 14.7 million in public spending. The municipality was given until 11th of May to respond, and now the deadline has been extended 6 days from today. Now, the details not abstract. 16,000 litre water tankers bought from Key Spirit Trading were sent into Kwadikusa, Mandini, Dwedwe and Mapumula to supply drinking water. Parliament alleges those tankers were contaminated with dirt and debris and that municipal officials signed them off as fit for purpose anyway. A second company, DeRoz Components and Accessories, was then paid to refurbish them, replacing hydraulics, repainting within weeks of delivery. Separately, 3 million rand in rent was paid on office space has sat unoccupied, 11.7 million committed to convert a privately owned warehouse into municipal offices. Now, the Auditor General has disputed the procurement route the municipal used to make those calls. And there is more. We've got undelivered laptops, assets missing from the municipal register, a public protector order not fully implemented. Now, this is the foul Parliament once answered, and you both sit, you know, in council. I know, Po, you sit at the Lembe municipality. Where are we with this now? Have you actually had a council meeting with regards to this report, and what is the status of it? And just in context, we have been highlighting for a long time the water shortages and the issues in Stanger and the residents that are they've been having water, water shortages and water shedding, we call it, for so long. And now this is uncovered. What do you say to that?
Well, Penny, good morning to yourself. Good morning to your listeners. With this matter, obviously, there has been a follow-up council meeting. So at the council meeting that happened towards the end of April, that is when the matter was initially discussed and the letter from the parliamentary committee was presented to us. And then obviously the municipal manager was then given a time frame to respond, in which he did. I won't go into the details of his response because it is still in committee, but he did respond. Council did sit yesterday to discuss the matter. And as you've mentioned now, is that an additional 6 days from today or 7 days from yesterday's council meeting has been given to the municipal manager to obviously get his house in order. Although council, if I were to just give a little bit of insight, there is a desire to really implement consequence management, because the issues, there are a number of issues raised in that news article that was released, those are not the only issues we as council have with the accounting officer. Towards the latter part of last year, during the second or last council meeting that we had at the district, we had listed a number of issues that the municipal manager has not attended to.
Now, can you give us an example of some of the issues?
For example, we all know that the Caesar Water concession is coming to an end in 2029.
Yeah, that's very important and topical.
Yes. Now, as Action SA, we've been pushing very hard, very, very hard for the extension of that concession. We've had a petition go up. We've had close to 4,000 odd signatures, both online and in physical signatures. And because of that pressure, council unanimously decided that, you know what, as a council resolution, we will opt to extend the concession, which meant it was then up to the municipal manager to implement the processes that will then result in the extension of that concession. Up till today, nothing has been done to initiate the process of extension. And it's not like an extension, you say, okay, we extend today and then tomorrow contract's extended. It's a lengthy process that must be engaged. because there are obviously legal intricacies that are involved. So with the municipal manager dragging his feet, one has to question,
absolutely,
what interest does he have?
Yeah, the dots, joining the dots. Yeah, here.
Because why is he dragging his feet? Is there a desire for him to ensure that Caesar Waters' concession isn't extended? So that, because Ilembe's initial intention was to take over from Caesar Water, which would have been a massive disaster.
Yeah, we know how it's going right now.
And that additional revenue, and we know that the revenue from this half of the municipality is quite substantial compared to the other half.
Yeah.
And so Ilembe taking over this half would have meant they have a slightly bigger pool of money to obviously start lining their pockets quite nicely.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, when they bought, I mean, the water tanker issue, I mean, to unpack that is, you know, there's a water tanker mafia that everyone alleges is operating there, and it's benefited that particular, this is all allegations, that's benefited those people who have been running the water tankers to keep, you know, Ilembe in a state of failure, because obviously there's a lot of money that is involved with that. So you bring in someone who can efficiently sort out the water issue, that goes away, and then obviously
even with the water tanker mafia itself, we had the issue where we had the floods and our fleet of water tankers were obviously destroyed.
Yeah.
And so there was that period where we were relying heavily on hired water tankers. Hence the water tanker mafia, that's when it really started to rear its ugly head. But then subsequent to that, towards the earlier part of last year, we had received the full regiment of our new fleet.
How many water tankers were procured?
I can't remember the exact number, but I do know that we had received it in tranches.
Okay.
From as early of the latter part of 2024. Coming into the earlier parts of 2025. And then we had in council, we questioned, and they said, no, we've received the full fleet. Yet we come to the adjustments budget in this year, which was early on this year, and we find that despite receiving these water tankers, the money we're spending on hiring water tankers has not diminished in any sense.
So there's been no saving, which they justified to buy the water tankers.
But then you asked, at council, I asked the question, here, listen, We've bought water tankers. We have them in our possession. They should be operating. Yet we're still spending virtually the same amount of money we have been on hiring water tankers as though we don't have water tankers. And for them, the answer was a very, very foolish one, if I were to put it in a very nice way.
Yeah.
Was that no? There's still areas that require water tankers on a daily basis. So then you have to ask yourself the question: You've set. It's not like these areas. I'm talking about areas like Ndwedwe, who don't really have fully established water infrastructure. So you have to ask yourself the question, okay, you're hiring water tankers on a daily basis. You're incurring costs unnecessarily.
Millions, and runs into millions for our listeners who...
Exactly. And then yet you come to the budget and you find that the municipality, in terms of investing in its infrastructure, is under budgeting. They're using a very insignificant portion of our budget to upgrade and maintain our infrastructure, whereas they're okay with spending millions upon millions on hiring water.
I think if I stand to be corrected, it was about 150 million at one stage when I looked at the budget on the water tanker. That's how much they were spending on that. It just baffles. You know, you can't make this shit up. It really is just baffles my head that this is going on, and you go into the communities who have no water, they have water shedding, and you know, hopefully, you know what, there's going to be some sort of accountability. And, you know, our local government election, this is going to hopefully bring a lot out in the open. And hopefully the communities can get a water provider who's going to be able to get to get them out of the suffering. Halali Sani, can we move over to you? I know there's been a lot of issues. We wanted to touch on the Kwadukuza. We've got the Section 106 report. That is still in committee. The public has not seen anything about it. I know that the Ratepayers Association put a PAR application to get the report released. They were told that there was going to be a redacted, summarized version of the report that was going to be released to the public. We're still waiting for that. And now, after 30 days of the PAR application not being adhered to, the municipality hasn't responded, they're actually going to be taking some legal action on that. Where are you guys? Where do you stand on this, on the Section 106? And I know, just for the listeners, The repercussions of it has accumulated in the municipal manager and two other senior officials who have been put on precautionary suspension pending the investigation. And the they did actually go to the Labour Court. They applied, did an urgent application to get this set aside. That motion was thrown out twice in the Labour Court. And just recently, the municipal manager, Mr. Nkana, he went to the Durban High Court and it was on the roll, and that was also pushed out. He doesn't want, obviously, the report to be made public, and we are there right now. What are you as a council member saying? You know, you're sitting in this in committee. I know you aren't allowed to speak about the specific stuff. What is your stance on this?
Firstly, greetings to yourself, Penny. It's been a long time coming. It's overdue. And greetings to your listeners. I think in relation to the Section 106, our hands are a bit tied as councillors that do sit in council with these in committee matters. But we do believe in the rule of law and transparency. And that's why at a previous council meeting, I think it was a special council, Sipo,
correct,
where we took a decision to say that at least an executive summary of the Section 106 report must be released to the public. So it's quite discomforting to see that that still hasn't been done, which has then resulted in a major push from ratepayers associations to try and basically debunk or declassify this crucial information that should be made public to the community of Guatuguza. And as Action SA, we did actually raise this within the in-committee item to say that we feel as though, since this is a matter of public interest,
it's public money,
it shouldn't be dealt with as an in-committee matter.
Yeah. Mm.
Which, of course, we're then shut down by the Speaker.
I was going to say, who's not supporting? Who is pushing against? Where's the pushback coming from to get this report out in the public? Because we've tried many avenues to, you know, to get some citing of the report, and we basically know, you know, what they've said. The 35.7 million rand heist, bank heist. There's a whole lot of slew of contracts, you know, construction contracts. There's a whole lot of issues that, you know, involve public funds. Why is there such a pushback? What are their reasons for not releasing it?
Look, I think it's a clear evasion of accountability.
Yeah.
Because at some point, the items were even disingenuous in how they came to council. Because you'd find that there's an item on an acting MM to be appointed, for instance, and that's not in committee. However, the Section 106 is in committee.
Yeah.
And we raise that to say, this is showing clearly that the MM has been suspended. So why are we then dealing with the matters of the 106 report in committee, whereas within the public scope of our agenda, there is something that alludes to the fact that the MM has been suspended? So there's a bit of an inconsistency there in terms of how we're sharing the information with the public. And that's why I'm saying it's a clear evasion of accountability. There's a clear pushback in terms of them not wanting to be transparent.
Yeah.
And I think it's just to protect particular individuals within the administration.
And the construction companies who have for many years benefited from, you know, precarious relationships with officials in the municipality. Mm. And we, you know, it's an elephant in the room, but that also has to come out in the air. And you have to also start unpacking the people who are linked to the construction and the failure of a lot of the infrastructure projects that should be, you know, have gone ahead long ago. And there was a recent motion passed in council, which was, you were very much active in the recent March in Itakwene. There was a massive public support, and obviously it involved undocumented illegal illegal residents, what is the right word for it, who are, you know, in South Africa, and there's been a pushback. Can you just tell us a little bit about that so we can bring it back to our local scene as well?
Look, I think, Penny, we need to be very, very clear and admit to ourselves that we've got a huge crisis within our country.
Yeah.
Illegal immigration is a crisis nationally. And as the custodians of bylaws within local governance, we can't shy away from the fact that the effects of that are being felt within our communities right here locally.
Yeah.
So there's a huge frustration that South Africans are feeling right now. They're feeling a sense of distrust within the leadership. They're feeling unheard. And they're feeling as though they are being marginalized within their very own communities.
Yeah.
So as leaders, we have a responsibility to listen to what the electorate is saying. Now, we've then aligned ourselves with the sentiment of trying to really alleviate the prevalence of illegal immigration within our country, because it's becoming a larger issue. It ties into issues of criminality, you know?
Yeah.
There's a prevalence of drugs within our communities. And we can't shy away from the fact that that is as a direct result of some of the influx of illegal foreigners within our communities. Yeah.
You know, the number that's been touted, I don't know how accurate it is. There was a recent figure that was released. There were about 29 million illegal undocumented workers in South Africa. Have you heard about that? How accurate is that figure? I know they said they did it via RICA consensus. I'm not quite sure. Yeah.
To be honest, I think it's even more.
Yeah.
To be quite honest. And that shows you the magnitude of the issue at hand. Because even if you look at Wetuguza, Wetuguza has a lot of potential. You know, it's one of the fastest emerging GDPs within KZN. But it's not a very big town. So can you imagine within an influx of hundreds of thousands of illegal foreigners into a town that's already struggling with basic service delivery issues?
Yeah.
Then that's basically going to strain our service delivery even more. But I think more so, it then presents an opportunity for economies such as the township economy.
Yeah, which we had a off a record discussion a little while ago. I mean, that's massive. And, you know, I have spent quite a lot of time in the townships. I've been highlighting a lot of the issues. And one of the issues that has been brought up by a lot of the youth leaders in the township is the fact that a lot of the spaza shops are actually being run by undocumented foreigners. And obviously, there's a big, the government has released a grant, and we said it was 500 million to try and, you know, just revive the township economy via the spaza shops and making them local. But the challenges that our local division has had to try and implement this is that they've been threatened. They said there's a big mafia that's operating there that won't let them actually go in.
Precisely.
Yeah. So how does that happen? Is there a unit in the municipality that has been created to try and do something about it? What is the plan going forward? Because we're speaking about it, we can see it, you know, but it almost seems that there are some officials that are complacent in this.
Yeah. And I think that's where we realized that we need to be proactive in the form of governance, Penny. Because we can support the sentiments on the ground by being on the ground with ordinary South Africans, marching and protesting along with them. But we've got the privilege of sitting in corridors that govern our cities, that govern our province, that govern national. So we've got a responsibility as leaders at every sphere of government to ensure that you're enacting a change that actually leads to governance. And that's how our Action SA motion came about, because we realized that there's a prevalence of illegally owned spaza shops within most, if not all, of our communities.
Yeah, I'd say more than 90%.
Definitely more than 90%. Yeah. And it's unlawful. There's no unit that's looking for compliance. We've got clear bylaws in terms of the business licensing unit. So how are they receiving licenses to operate?
Yeah.
That means that some of our locals are complicit.
Absolutely.
In illegal activity. Mm. So we looked at all of that and we said, what can we do about this? And that's why we brought in a motion in accordance with the rules of council to say that...
How long ago was this motion put in council? It was about 2 weeks ago, wasn't it?
No, here's the interesting part. I'll give you the backstory.
Yeah.
The motion was first submitted to the Speaker's office in November
2025. Okay, wow.
And it has been stalled by the Speaker's office for months thereafter.
And what is the reason for stalling it? Just
there was no reason whatsoever. You know, there was just a sheer level of incompetence and not wanting to deal with issues that touch ordinary South Africans. So we consistently, month after month, kept raising this up in council meetings to say, we've submitted a motion that is at the center of assisting our local communities to become economically viable for themselves in order to contribute within the economic climate of our, not only our communities, not only our municipality, but our country. And you're just sitting on your laurels, for lack of a better word, on this motion. And who is it benefiting? Because we're dealing with illegality here. So we should be the ones that are being proactive in ensuring that we've got measures in place. And fast forward to then last month, the speaker, after subsequent correspondence from November up until last month, then decided to table the motion.
I mean, that's quite a successful, it's an outcome. And were you supported by the council? Was there a large majority of the councils who supported this motion?
Yes, all political parties supported the motion.
Yeah, and
what
does
like
it mean?
Speak to what the motion says.
Yes, that's what we
want
to know.
The first one, one of our recommendations said that we want EXCO to do research and come back to council and report back on a feasibility study in terms of establishing a task team that will specifically deal with the issue of illegal immigrants within Guadaguza. So that's in combination with other stakeholders, relevant stakeholders such as Home Affairs, SAPS, and any other relevant stakeholders that they can work with to ensure that we've got at least a good understanding and we're not speculating in terms of how large the issue is. Yeah. There should be a dedicated task team that's going out and going out into our communities, finding businesses that are unlicensed or licensed using South Africans as a front, and then basically doing an investigation into how those business licenses were given to those individuals and what is going to be done once we find that there's illegal activity being done on those premises.
Have you put a timeline to this task team? Because whenever I hear a task team, I like phase out, because we've had so many, we've had so many things happening, task teams, and everyone's talking about it, but nothing actually gets done on the ground. So, and this is, time's running out, because I've taken some footage of even just closer to home. You know, I know this is a situation broader in the whole of the North Coast. Closer to home on Belito Mshlali side, you know, and a lot of people are choosing to look away or not see what the problem is. Mm. But it is a big, big problem. It's putting a massive, massive strain on our services, because a lot of, the growth that's happened has come from migrant workers who have set up shop here, have tapped into the legal illegal electricity, water supplies. And it's having a massive impact. And the ripple is starting to be felt now.
Definitely. And I think we're going to really, really be holding council accountable in that sense, in the form of the executive, because we have mandated EXCO to go and do that feasibility study and report back to us. So because we have council meetings every month, it presents us with an opportunity to then keep raising it on matters arising, to say that how far are you with this investigation? How far are you with the report? But it doesn't mean that in the absence of that, we're not going to be making means to ensure that the process is expedited, because as you said, it's a major issue, you know. And if you look at the historical context of Ilembe Penny, there's even a traditional heritage to it, where in the form of Ushaka Zulu, this is where he established his administrative front.
Yeah,
and in CBD there is what we call which is where basically the presence of Ushaka is housed. But if you look at the street, right in front of that, they're selling drugs. The street behind that very same premises, there's prostitution.
Yeah.
So it shows you that there's a huge dilapidation, even in terms of our CBD. You walk around our CBD, you barely recognize it anymore.
Well, you're seeing this urban decay here. I mean, there's kids now that are sitting at the four-way stops begging because they are hooked on drugs. Mm. I mean, I've seen that. I've been there, and I've stopped and I've spoken to them. And when you go further, you're saying, where are these drugs? Where are they purchasing the drugs? And you see a lot of the spaza owners, spaza shops are actually, being used as a front for drug dealing as well, and all sorts of, you've got the illegal shebeens that are happening right now as well here. It's caused such a massive urban decay, and obviously you have the repercussions of the crime levels going up. Everything else follows suit.
Also, it has a ripple effect on service delivery, and I think that's what is usually the issue, that most people don't stand up and fight for something up until it directly affects them.
Absolutely.
Or they mostly don't even realize how much of a ripple effect it has on your everyday life.
Yes.
If there are illegal foreigners that are connecting electricity illegally within 28 of the 30 wards in Guaduguza, it's definitely going to affect your electricity
supply. And it's
supply.
A very good
it's
business.
It's going to affect your water supply because yeah. they're tapping into the water and electricity grid illegally
yeah.
so that they can benefit from these nefarious dealings that they're doing. So this is a larger issue. You go to restaurants, you find there are restaurants that are housing illegal foreigners there as cheap labor. So this is a bigger problem.
Yeah.
And that's why we're saying it's going to need a collective approach in terms of us being aware of the issue before it boils over to something that we won't be able to control.
100%. And you know what? The awareness is starting. It's starting to trickle here. I know I feel like on the North Coast, we're a little bit slow on the take on that. Or maybe we don't want to face that there is an issue. But it's very much becoming, it's going out in the open. I feel, that's. I don't know, Po, if you can actually say on that, I almost feel overwhelmed. Do you think it's too much of a big, issue for Guaduguza to handle, and that's why they have there's such a lack of an action from their side?
I think, Penny, just to touch on a few points, actually, and what you've just mentioned, when it comes to what we've mandated EXCO to do, I know we talked about timelines, I'm of the belief that if EXCO sits tomorrow, they can complete that feasibility study by tomorrow. The reason why I say this is because the task team we're asking for, in its practical sense, already exists.
Okay.
And I say this because if you go within the EDP department, I don't know if you remember, towards the latter part of 2024, there was the huge scandal with spaza shops selling expired
yes,
goods.
Yes, yes.
And it was affecting school
yeah,
kids.
Yeah, yeah.
At that point in time, there was a massive momentum in terms of cracking down on businesses to ensure that they're selling goods that are suitable for consumption.
Yes.
And in KDM, in Stanger CBD, there already exists a task team that can handle both business licensing, that can handle both the quality of goods, that expertise comes from from Ilembe itself. Home Affairs already exists in Stanger, which means we've already got the aspect of dealing with illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
So you've got a hub of multi-disciplines in KDM. And all it requires is just that someone needs to set a date. We're going to go to this location. We're going to check these shops for these specific things.
Yeah, it's political will, really.
And it can be executed very quickly because at the beginning of 2025, the EDP business licensing unit, together with Ilembe in terms of food health, we had hit about three or four shops in Stanger. And of the four shops, we had immediately shut down three of them. And it wasn't, and some of them weren't just small. A few of them were small shops, yeah. And some of them were rather large retailers. We shut down the doors simply because we found that they were selling goods that were past the expiry date. So when it comes to dealing with illegal immigrants, because shortly after that, in the EDP Economic Development Committee, which I used to sit on, I then proposed that sort of blitz should be taken to every single ward because we know that the majority of the spaza shops exist within the local wards. And we know that these spaza shops are owned by illegal foreigners. So if they were to do the very same thing they did in CBD with the very same intensity and the very same speed, by now, had they implemented it, that's why the motion came about because they were dragging their feet in with that. If they had implemented it then, by now we would have dealt with 90% of the spaza shops that are owned by legal foreigners
yeah.
by now.
But also, isn't this also a big Home Affairs issue as well? I mean, Guaduguza can't do much with undocumented workers. It's surely a Home Affairs issue.
No doubt, it is a Home Affairs issue. Yeah. But we have to ask ourselves a question. It's not like we're saying Home Affairs issue and Home Affairs is in another province.
Yeah.
We have a Home Affairs
yeah.
office.
I think it's a multitask.
Yeah, we have an active Home
cooperation.
Affairs office in Stanger CBD. Yeah.
So and Guaduguza does have the responsibility to make sure that the bylaws are
exactly.
in place and that, you know, the licenses are being operated. And there's
yeah.
There's a big grant to drive this economy,
yes.
you know, and it needs to be, you know, we're sitting over 30% unemployment rate at the moment. The unemployment has hiked up since 2025.
Mm.
So there is a massive, you know, pushback now for Guaduguza to exert their authority and be
yeah.
responsible.
Look, you know, earlier you spoke about funding, right? And that's why one of the recommendations in our motion specifically spoke to strengthening the business licensing unit for South Africans, for locals.
Yeah.
Because what you find is there are locals that are applying for business licensing and they aren't receiving it. There's a bottleneck there. So when you don't have access to funding because you don't have a license, that means you don't have access to growth. Now, that presents a formidable challenge because, as you're saying, there's grants in the form of 500 million that was released nationally to assist within the revitalization of the township economy in the form of spaza shops.
Yeah.
But what does that mean if ordinary South Africans can't be the beneficiaries of that?
Absolutely.
And we're sitting with such a huge rate of unemployment, and there is a township sector in the form of the township economy that locals can no longer tap into. You know, growing up, historically, we knew that spaza shops were ran by locals. We even called it Bab Zuma's shop, Mam Lamini's tuck shop, and the likes of that. But you look at today, South Africans are even afraid to start their own informal businesses because it's been so monopolized by illegal foreigners. And they're not doing it in a very nice way, by the way. In certain communities, they're threatening locals.
I've experienced you can't even
open a spaza shop as a local within your own country, in your own community, because that sector has been overtaken by people that are here illegally. We cannot allow for the erosion of the rule of law in our country.
Yeah.
We cannot stand for that.
Well, we're going to be ending soon. Our time's up. Just one final thing. I know you've mentioned a lot of relevant issues going forward. What one last thing do you want to leave with the listeners going forward in terms of this initiative or how they can get involved or be supportive? What is your call to action?
It starts with small things, right? We think we're going to make a huge change overnight. It's usually very unrealistic to think so. So as I said, it starts with supporting movements of protest, if you can. And if you're within the corridors of governance, then it's not just supporting those movements, but it's actually trying to enact changes within the bylaws or enforcing any sort of political will on bylaw enforcement. But as an ordinary citizen, it starts from doing the small things of not supporting that restaurant in your neighborhood that you know has employed illegal foreigners as a form of cheap labor, because that keeps them in business. It means that it prolongs the prevalence of illegal foreigners in our country. It's that nail technician that you know is here illegally. It's that domestic worker from another country that you know is here illegally that you are having look after your children or your family.
I think South Africans have to.
It starts with small things.
Yeah, it's a responsibility. It is.
We have a responsibility as South Africans to be patriotic to our country. So you'll find that in many of the township communities, it's our very own people that are assisting illegal foreigners in setting up shop within our communities. Yeah. So it starts with even community education, which are some of the things that we spoke about even in our motion, to say that we need to go out and educate our communities with the dangers of allowing the prevalence of illegal activities and being used as complicit bystanders within that unlawful activities within our communities, because it starts small. And then you wake up one day and illegal foreigners have taken over your community and you can't even fend for yourself.
I feel like that's where we are at the moment. And Sipho, one final word from you before we close.
You know, Penny, we're in a very critical year.
Yeah, election year, November.
The elections have just been announced. I know people will always have this question on their minds. What have you done since being in office? I think, especially knowing that this local government election is going to be a very critical
one. Yeah, we're going to be at the... I feel like we're going to be at the epicenter of the news cycle.
And I just want to encourage your viewers and the public two things. One is to obviously ensure that their voter registration status is up to date. And if they know, if they have a friend or a family member that they know is eligible to vote and haven't registered to vote, they should encourage that person to vote, register to vote. Because right now, numbers is going to be a critical thing. But the second thing is, I think we have to move away from voting on the lines of sentiment. We now need to vote on the lines of proven track record and competence.
Yeah.
And they need to look at parties and people that are actively making a change in council.
And that is exactly what local government is. You don't vote for the party, you vote for the people exactly. who are effective. You look at your ward councillor and you question in the last 5 years, what has he done? Has he actually, you know, done what he mandated to do before he was elected? These are the questions we are going to be following in the next couple of months, and obviously putting them on the hot seat and seeing the people that are going to be standing up. And yeah, and one final word from Halalisani before we go.
Just a final one to build up on what Sipho has said, right? This is going to be a very different election than the
others. In what way?
In a sense that most of our municipalities, including Guatuguza, are probably going to be hung municipalities.
Yeah.
So we need to come to terms with the reality of that you need political parties that have shown the maturity of being able to manage coalition politics.
Yeah.
Because there's a high chance that a coalition government is going to govern our municipality.
Yeah, I think there's no high. I think it's a given. Hey?
It is a given.
Yeah.
So I think as the electorate, we need to sit down and be very sober-minded in terms of how we view governance versus opposition, you know? Whether it's not about now whether you like particular individuals or a particular party or not, as Sipho was saying, to vote on sentiments. It's more about voting on logic in the sense that which parties are most likely to be in council? Can they govern together? And if they do, is there a formidable opposition to that governance? Because sometimes you can be a good opposition party, but when you're in governance, you're silent. So if you've left out a space where there's a formidable and strong opposition, then it means there's nobody left to be the voice of residents when everybody's together in governance. Mm. So these are sort of the things that we need to be aware of.
Now, and we're going to be educating the public on a lot of these issues. We're going to be having a very robust conversation and we're going to be highlighting a lot of issues in the coming months. Okay, thank you both to my guests, Halalisani Ndlovu and Sipho Zungu, for joining me, Action SA councillors in Guatuguza, and for a very informative conversation. And we're going to be following up on these issues that are currently affecting all of us in Guatuguza. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Penny.
When it comes to security, don't leave it to chance. Trust the experts at IPSS Security as the only CISA-approved security provider on the Dolphin Coast in all categories and the only local security company also accredited for CCTV off-site monitoring with over 4 million rand invested in AI technology. They protect over 50 upmarket residential estates, spotting threats in real time. If action is needed, their rapid response and tactical teams, backed by the largest fleet in the region, is ready to act. For unmatched security, contact IPSS Security today at 0861 324777. Your safety is their priority.